served the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. The next reading is on page 1121. Now, there were many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Amanda. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for this time of the year. Lord, do teach us again the truths of which we can glean from these passages, Lord. Help us to see this in a fresh light. Amen. Got a few examples of representatives. Representatives are quite an important part of human life. A good example is like trade unions. So the way a trade union should work, the way it works in Germany, not here, is you have a representative of the workers who has a place on the board of the company. And he's there to represent the voice of the workers, but he also has a say in how the company operates. That's how Germany does it. Here, it's just hijacked by the communists, unfortunately. That's how it should work. That's the trade union's role. And of course, then we have MPs. Again, that's what an MP should be doing. MPs should be representing constituents and trying to meet what their needs are and trying to lobby for that in Parliament. Of course, that doesn't happen because they're serving their own needs. And especially if you're a woman, more than half of them don't even know what a woman is. So how can they represent you? So it doesn't really work very well. Of course, we see that in films, don't we? In Lord of the Rings, each of the different groups of people was represented as they were trying to go out on their mission. The hobbits, the elves, the dwarfs, wizards, and of course, man. And in a similar way, the case with Narnia. In Narnia, there had to be four representatives of the human race there to represent to a different people what was needed. And that essentially is what a priest is. If we were to ask, what is a priest for? It is simply that, to be a representative, to act on behalf of the people to God, and also act on behalf of God to the people. And that's where we get the name vicar from. Vicar comes from the Latin vicarius, which means to act on behalf of or in place of the people. But why did God's people need one? Why was there a priest in the first place? Well, do you remember where it all started? Remember at Mount Sinai? Mount Sinai, Moses has gone up the mountain. He's come down with the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And remember, two copies of the covenant. One for God, one for the people. That's the agreement made. I will be your God, you will be my people. And this is the agreement by which that relationship works. And the priest was there to mediate that covenant, that relationship. Remember Aaron was the first one appointed, the first high priest. This was Moses' brother. You read about that in Exodus 28. So Aaron was there to represent the people to God and God to the people on the basis of the covenant made in the Ten Commandments. And you notice on Aaron's tunic, on his breastplate, this was key. These are the 12 names of the tribes of Jacob or Israel, to show that every time he went to meet with God, he was representing the 12 tribes, symbolically representing all of God's people. That's why we have a priest. But what does a priest do? What does a representative in the mould of a priest, what do they do? Why is it important? Well, there's two aspects to this. Two aspects. The first one is atonement. Remember that the priest had to make sacrifices on behalf of the people to atone for their sins. Remember, this is a huge ritual of ceremonies that were carried out, and this burning fire on the altar had to be permanently ablaze so that people always had an opportunity to have their sins atoned for. That's what the priest did, to put aside God's anger. And the second thing was intercession. The priest would make offerings again on behalf of the people, thank offerings or prayerful offerings, but again on behalf of the people. And only the priest was able to go into this holiest of holiest places in the temple or in the tabernacle, the tent, when they carried it around. Only the high priest could go in there and symbolically meet in the presence of God on behalf of the people. So essentially, what was the priest doing in this atonement and intercession? Well, he's building and formulating that relationship between man and God, God and man. Absolutely essential for the people. And of course, if you remember, throughout our Old Testament, one person couldn't hold the role of being both the king and the priest. These were distinct roles made quite clearly by God. Remember David. David was denied the chance to build the house of the Lord because God said, you've got blood on your hands. And it's partly because the king's main role was to administer justice, to rule the kingdom, to defend it. And that would often involve force. And so the king would, in maybe some cases literally, but theoretically, have blood on his hands, which would make him unclean, unable to minister in the holiest places. Which is why the priest was anointed separately. This priest was set apart from every other function within God's people, so he wouldn't be defiled with violence or anything else like that. Completely set apart. And in 1 Samuel 30, remember, this is the downfall of Saul, was when Saul took it on himself to make the sacrifice to God for the people, when he'd been clearly instructed that's not the role of the king. That's when he turned his back on God, when God turned his back on him. That's how important it is. What's this all to do with Jesus then? Why are we looking at this? Because Jesus is the perfect priest. Why exactly then is Jesus the perfect priest? How does he fit all this together? How does he fulfill all this? Well, one of the burdens, we saw that in our Hebrews 7 reading, one of the burdens of the priest was that he had to deal with himself first. So before he could atone for the sins of the people or make intercession to act on behalf, to pray on behalf of the people, he had to deal with himself first. He had to sort his sins out. And this was repeated time and time again. This endless cycle of the priest sorting himself out before he could act on behalf of the other people. But not with Jesus. This is what makes Jesus utterly unique, because he was sinless, completely sinless. He didn't need to sort himself out to make himself available to help anyone else. What makes Jesus unique is that he's always available to act on behalf of God's people. Always available. And when we're looking at representatives, remember, the priest is the representative of man to God and God to man. Well, what is Jesus? Jesus is fully man and fully God. He represents both sides absolutely perfectly. Here's our perfect priest. The perfect priest who's always available and perfectly represents both sides of the relationship, the covenant. This is why the birth at Christmas is so important. This is not just God popping himself into our world. This is God coming into our world but taking on the human nature to be our perfect prince, to act on our behalf for us. Yet throughout all that, he's still God. He took our human nature to live as one of us, for us, to achieve what we couldn't do. And he suffered for us, endured all the pain and suffering that the world brings. And therefore he can empathize with us. He's not some distant, impersonal God who doesn't know what we're going through. He knows exactly what we're going through because he's experienced it. For how exactly does this help God's people? Why would they need a perfect priest? Why would someone not in the mould of Aaron be enough? But it all comes back to atonement and intercession. The high priest, if it was just a man, could only make that atonement last for so long before it had to be repeated. But not with Jesus, because Jesus can atone perfectly and once only. Jesus makes us completely holy because he presents us to God completely holy. And why? Because he doesn't present an atonement offering. He was that atonement offering. We're going to look at that in more detail next week when we look at the third gift. Jesus is the perfect atonement for us. But also, this is the key thing. This is what secures our salvation, is the fact that Jesus lives forever. That's what we're reading in Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, verse 25. It's another one for the memory bank to remember. Every time you wake up and think, am I falling away? I don't think God has completely saved me. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough for God. When you have thoughts like that, just bring this to mind. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Why? Because he always lives to intercede for them. In its simplest terms, what this verse is saying is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father every second of every day, saying to God, when we stumble, when we fall, don't worry, that one belongs to me. That's what he's doing every second. And he will never stop doing that because he lives forever. This is why the gift of frankincense, this is what it was pointing to. The frankincense was an incense that was placed on that altar. So the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and put this incense on, and this aroma would waft up, which would be symbolic of the prayers and the offerings going up to God. This was an aroma, an offering acceptable to God. That's how he described it. So this is what the priest is doing, presenting these prayers, these offerings to God on behalf of the people. And then you see it symbolically going up to God. This is what Jesus is doing in reality every second, praying on our behalf for us. And that's what's so unique about this work. That's why frankincense is so important. That's what it's pointing to. It's pointing to the fact that this baby is going to be a priest forever, a representative of the people to God forever. The final priest ever needed. Often we've had times in history where we've had someone who's been the best at their field, but haven't lasted. I'm sure there's lots of things that we've looked back and thought, well, wouldn't it have been amazing to be around when this person was alive? So I think, well, I mean, it might be quite controversial, some of these things. Let's think about this. What would be the best actor? Some people would say, wouldn't it be amazing to see the best actor that ever lived? Someone who represented the acting field, the best one ever. I'm sure we'll never agree on this one, but we'll just throw this one out there. Laurence Olivier. Because he's gone. He cannot represent that acting field at all. Who was the greatest artist ever? The greatest artist. Who would you say? Lara? Very difficult one. I'll tell you who I'd pick. This is what it's picked up. And for lots of reasons. But maybe Da Vinci. Because he designed all sorts of things as well. I think it's just phenomenal. Probably the greatest ever, maybe, arguably. Lots of debate about that. But he's gone. Finished. Girls, who was your favourite monarch? Who's the best monarch this country's ever had? I think so. Absolutely. She's gone. What a representative she was. Wouldn't it have been lovely if we still had her? Man, could we do with her now? Goodness knows what she's thinking. What about the greatest footballer of all time? Greatest footballer of all time. Anyone want to hazard a guess? Maybe the girls? Do you know? Argentinian. Diego Maradona. Greatest ever. There will never be another one like him, but he's gone. Finished. None of these live forever. They represented their field. They were the best at their field. But they've gone. Finished. Not with Jesus. You've seen. Last week, this baby was the perfect king. And we see now he's the perfect priest. Why? Remember last week? All of God's promises come through the perfect king. And what we're seeing this week is that all of God's promises are sustained through the perfect priest. That's why it was so important that he came as he did. Christmas may be more important than we care to imagine. Jesus taking on that human nature is fundamental to our salvation. Without that, it all falls down. He cannot be our perfect representative. Well, how do we respond? How do we respond to that? It's quite simple, isn't it? We always go to Jesus. Always. Nothing and no one else will ever present you holy and righteous to God. Anything else that we try will just be a counterfeit, it will be fake, and it will fail. Which is why we don't need priests now. Not in that sense. Priests have a different role. I'm an ordained priest, James is an ordained priest. We're both ordained, but what is the role of the priest now? Well, fundamentally, it's to lead people to Christ. To direct them in the way of truth. To guard them against falsehood, which is rampant at the moment. To build them up in the word. To equip them to serve the body, which is the church. And to encourage them to live as a witness to Jesus. That's all a priest, a pastor, a vicar can do. Only Christ can make a saving intercession on your behalf. Only Christ. Only Christ will present you as holy and righteous. No vicar or pastor can do that. Everything goes through Jesus. Everything. When we pray through Jesus. For through him, we both, Paul here is talking about Jews and Gentiles, what access do we have to the Father? How do we pray to the Father? For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Through him. We pray to the Father in the Spirit through Jesus. Through Jesus. John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And no one can present us before the throne of grace like Jesus. Jude 24, to him, to Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. And there's that joy again. Everything else is counterfeit. It will not work. Our own efforts are meaningless unless we go through Jesus. Any other person or theologian or pastor or preacher that we hold in high esteem is nothing compared to Jesus. They cannot present us to the Father spotless. And no amount of wishful thinking or positive energy or vitamins or whatever else we think will help us. Only through Jesus, the perfect priest and king. There is no other way. We pray through him. We enter heaven through him. We are clothed in him. And all because he took on a human nature in that grotty stable. Let me pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you for your saving work in our lives. Lord, we marvel at the wisdom of it. Lord, it's not a plan that any human would dream up. It demonstrates that your ways are not our ways. And Lord, as we try to understand it more and more day by day, I pray that you would teach us exactly what it means to be saved through your Son, our forever King, our forever Priest. Lord, help us to always go to Jesus. Help us not to think that we can rely or depend on anything else. What we have in you is utterly sufficient because Jesus lives forever to be our priest. Amen.